So tonight I'm going to do something I've never done before. Back in 1983, I wrote a song called On the Battlefield. And my wife and I, ever since we got together in 1980, we have written songs about Krishna consciousness. And in 1988, I was on my way to India for a pilgrimage, a month pilgrimage. So there was lots of time waiting at airports in between, whatever. So I decided that to this one song, I would write a purport. So this is the first time I am reading this purport. And I would like to offer this to Jai Krishna Das. So the first verse, on the battlefield 5,000 years ago, Arjuna, out of weakness, dropped his bow. He told the Lord, I shall not fight. But Krishna said, your thinking isn't right. Purport to the first verse. This song is a musical picture of the battlefield of Kurukshetra based on Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna felt misplaced compassion for his relatives due to skin disease, which is known as the bodily concept of life. Krishna instructed Arjuna to give up such petty weakness of heart. Arjuna was supposed to act in the position of a kshatriya, or one who is meant to administer violence to uphold the laws of God. And since Arjuna had dropped his weapon, it indicated that he was renouncing his obligation and thus acting in the mode of passion, which was not approved by Krishna. And Krishna is the supreme authority. Krishna chastised Arjuna, obliquely calling him a fool, or one who poses himself as a learned person, but who does not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Second verse of this song. What is eternal will be found to be true. The soul is the same for me and you. It was existing long before our first breath, and will continue after death. Purport to the second verse. Since Arjuna had the good fortune to surrender to Krishna and accept him as his guru, or spiritual trainer, Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita and thus gleaned sufficient knowledge to dispel his lamentation. Krishna began his instructions by explaining Sankhya, or that kind of knowledge which distinguishes between matter and spirit, between what is eternal and what is temporary, the difference between the body and the soul. Krishna pointed out, Nasato vijate bhavo, nabhavo vijate sataha, ubhayor api dristontas, tvanayos tatvadarshabihi. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, namely the material body, there is no endurance. And of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. Jatasihi dhruvo mityur dhruvang janma mritasyacha tasmad aparihariyarte natvang sochitum arahasi. One who has taken birth is sure to die, and after death one is sure to take birth again. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. Third verse. You are lamenting for this bag of skin, but you're forgetting that the soul within cannot be withered, burned, nor dried. It's just the body that has to die. Purport. This is the gist of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The bag of skin is the gross material body, and Arjuna was lamenting the prospect of having to kill his kith and kin. But Krishna informed him, Nainang chindanti shastrani, nainang dahati pavaka, nachainang kledayant yapo, nasho shayati marutaha. The soul can never be cut to pieces by any weapon, nor burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. Antavanta ime deha nityasyokta sharirinaha anashino prameyasya tasmad yudyasva bharata. The material body of the indestructible, immeasurable, and eternal living entity is sure to come to an end. Therefore, O descendant of Bharata, fight. Next verse. This world is just like a banyan tree where illusion serves as reality. It's but a reflection of the spiritual sky, and you can make it if you try. Purport. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Urdvamulam Madha Shakam Ashvatang Prahur Avyayam Chandang Siyasya Parnani Yastang Veda Saveda Vit. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to Arjuna, it is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree with its roots upward and branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. Adaschudvang prasritastasya shaka guna pravridda vishaya pravala adascha mulyanu santatani karmanu bandhini manushya loke. The branches of this tree extend downward and upward, nourished by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. The twigs are the objects of the senses, and this tree also has roots going down, and these are bound to the fruitive actions of human society. Narupamasyehatatho palabhyate Nanto nacha dir nacha sampratishta. Asvatam enang suvirudha mulam. Asanga shastrena vridhena chitva. Tat padang tat parimargitavyam. Yasmin gata na nivartanti buya. Tameva chadyang purushang prapadye. Yatak pravritti prasrita purani. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything began and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial. The material world is a perverted reflection of the eternal or Sanatan sky, which is also described in Bhagavad Gita. Parastasmat tubhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatyu na vinashyati. Yet there is another unmanifest nature which is eternal and transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. Na tad basayate suryo, na shashanko, na pavaka, yad gutva na nivartante, tad dhamma paramang mama. That supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon, nor by fire nor electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world. Avyaktakshara it yuktas tam ahu paramangatim yang prapya na nivartante tad dhamma paramang mama. That which the Vedantists describe as unmanifest and infallible, that which is known as the supreme destination, that place from which, having attained it, one never returns, that is my supreme abode. However, even though we are presently prisoners here in this material world, we can return back home, back to Godhead, if we but only surrender to Krishna. The process is known as Buddhi Yoga, Krishna consciousness, and that is the essential purport of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna assures us that even a little endeavor will surely go a long way. Nehavikramana shosti pratyavayo na vidyate swapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. In this endeavor, there is no loss, no diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Parthanai Veha Namutra Vinashyastasya Vidyate Nahi Kalyana Krit Kaschid Durgating Tata Gachati. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pritha, a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet with destruction, either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. This, I'm taking a break from the purport. This one line by Krishna. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. Is very, very relative and pertinent for these times. Because currently, we're all being tested. We're being tested because of situations in our life. Sometimes we are tempted to give up our faith, to give up our spiritual practices. And the illusory energy tempts us to do something bad. And we think sometimes it's justified. But this line by Krishna is very important. And the Pandavas headed by Yudhishthira illustrate this so much. We should, in every circumstance, not deviate from doing the right thing. We should not give in to that temptation. I remember very vividly, many years ago, one of my new students was telling me, Prabhuji, I go to temple, I'm a good person, I try to do everything religious, but here I am with my family stuck in a small apartment. We're barely making ends meet. And this neighbor over here, he drinks, he smokes, he does all kinds of sinful activities, and he's so wealthy. Maybe I should be like him. And he was very serious. And I said to him, no, no, no. I said to him, that person, Krishna's allowing him to go on for some time. But mark my words, the day will come, he will have to pay for all his indiscretions. And I said, you remain faithful. And it appears that he followed my instructions. Because now, because he remained faithful to Krishna, everything has improved for him. You know who I'm talking about, I think. Anyway. Everything, and it was beyond his imagination. And he confided in me, Prabhu, what I have now is all because of your guidance. So this line, one who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. This is something I should live by. I wish our political candidates would also live by this. No names. But at least we, one who is good, never overcome. And I think Jai Krishnadas Jasbhai is also an excellent example of this line. One who does good. Because I don't think he ever did anything wrong. Even during those years, all that turmoil. Other people did so many things. You all know the history. You told me many times. But did Jasbhai do anything wrong? To a fault, like Yudhishthira, he always did the right thing, as far as I know. In all the years that I knew him, he always did the right thing. So he's a good role model for us. That when that day comes, we're tempted. Maybe I can cheat a little. No. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. Next verse of the song. Just keep in mind who you really are. You're just a passenger in a car. You're being driven by an uncontrolled mind. And so your safety is so hard to find. Purport. This entire song is based on direct concepts taught in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the ABCs of transcendental knowledge. Krishna analyzes that the gross material body is just like a machine or a car or a vehicle in which the soul finds itself to be the passenger, not even the driver. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayeshi arjun tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. The whole game of life is the art and science of learning how to control the steering mechanism, which is the mind and intelligence of the vehicle known as the body. In order to reach the final goal outlined in chapter 15, the spiritual sky, which was also mentioned in the previous verse, and you can make it if you try. Krishna has much to say about the mind in his Bhagavad Gita. Udared atmanatmanang natmanam avasadayet atmaiva hi atmano bandhur atmaiva ripur atmanaha. One must deliver oneself with the help of the mind and not degrade oneself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and its enemy as well. So this is another very, very important lesson of Bhagavad Gita. We all have a mind. Although we can't see it, we know we have it. The mind can be your best friend or it can be your worst enemy. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to make the mind your best friend. Bandhur atmatmanastasya yenatmai batmanajita anatmanastu shatrutve varte tatmai vashatruvat. For one who has conquered the mind is best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, one's own mind will remain the greatest enemy. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Asangshayang Mahabaho Manur Dunigrihang Chalam Abhyasena Chakanteya Vairagyena Chagriyate. Lord Krishna said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind. But it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Because in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna said to Krishna, Krishna, you've just explained to me the yoga system and you want me to control my mind. But Arjuna said, my mind is like a raging hurricane. My wife is very fond of watching these weather channel programs, all these shows which shows violent weather.
I'm preparing.
So they show so many examples. The wind is blowing and the guy is trying to do the weather report, but he's getting blown. So the wind, you can't capture the wind. So Arjuna was saying, you want me to control my mind by doing Om? No, I can't do it. But Krishna wouldn't let Arjuna off the hook. His response, no, I understand it's difficult, but it's possible by suitable practice and by detachment. What is that practice? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Detachment means nothing belongs to me. Everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna has given me some property to act as caretaker. You have a family. Krishna has given you a wonderful family. But you have to understand, yes, I am given this service by Krishna. They're not meant for my exploitation. I am their servant, and I have to guide them because they belong to Krishna. That's detachment. Yudhisthira was king of the world. It is said in the Bhagavatam that Yudhisthira's opulence was envied by the Devatas. That's how opulent. After Yudhisthira did the Rajasuya sacrifice, the Devatas were there at the sacrifice. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, as well as many rishis and sages. And after the Rajasuya sacrifice, even the Devata said, Yudhisthira's opulence defeats ours. But Yudhisthira was detached. He had so much opulence at his command, but he did not go crazy. He utilized everything, and when it was time, he left. After he heard that Krishna had left this planet, Yudhisthira said, oh, that's it, I'm out of here. Because Yudhisthira knew, as soon as Krishna has left the planet, Kali Yuga is coming. And Yudhisthira was smart. I don't want to stick around for Kali Yuga. So Yudhisthira dropped everything. Parikshit, same thing. He got the email, he got the text message. 7 days, that's it. Oh, he got that tweet from Krishna. Right? It's time to go. Boom. Dropped everything, sat on the bank of the Ganga, heard Krishna Katha for 7 days and seven nights. And we have a hard time sitting for 2 hours. And he did it for 7 days and seven nights. And he wasn't complaining. Shukadev, I mean, come on. He wasn't going like this. Shukadev, you know. No, he was drinking the nectar at every step. Asanyatatmano yogo dushprapa iti me mati vashatmanatu yatata shakyovaptum upayataha. Krishna says, for one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But one whose mind is controlled and strives by appropriate means is assured of success. That is my opinion. So yes, the mind can be controlled, but you have to do it the proper way. Just like when you get your car, you have to observe the rules of the road and you have to be taught how to drive the car. And those first couple of lessons, anyone who's tried to teach someone to drive, those first couple of lessons, stop! Because they're not trained. But little by little by little, going around in the parking lot, little by little, they learn how to drive. And then it's like, they go 5 miles, gentle on the brake, gentle. And of course, what's the hardest thing? Parallel parking. That takes a whole year. So controlling the mind is just like that. It takes constant practice. And what is the appropriate means? Follow the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Gurudev. That's the appropriate means. It's like you don't make up your own driving laws. You can't tell the policeman, it's nothing, I can go 100 miles an hour in the school zone. What? No. So you don't make up your own process of mind control. You don't make it up. You have to follow the standard procedures. The ultimate success is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as follows. O my Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire to enjoy sense gratification, nor do I desire to become popular with the large retinue or entourage. I only ask that you give me a position of service at your lotus feet with the salary of ecstatic love of God. Thank you for allowing me this ecstasy. Mahatma Das, after a few minutes, you're going to lead the kirtan for the arti. Yes, my dear loving wife. What's that? My wife says you should speak something. Hey, don't blame me. It's her. She does the same thing to me.